Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home. Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch. The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed. And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
So are you in the Illuminati?
Where's the panda from? Why is your panda?
Okay, so if I can sell my soul to the devil, ask him how much he wants for it, bro.
It's hard out here, bro. What's up, friends? Welcome back to another episode. I'm one of your hosts, Air Bear.
My name is Saul Gomez.
My name is Caesar.
And today, guys, we have a huge guest. You guys know him if you rave or if you just listen to EDM. One of the biggest artists, EDM artists in the world. My favorite DJ of all time. That is Fags. You've heard his hits like Ye, 5 hours, 5 more hours, and Perdóname. The one, the only, the DJ with a career of over 18 years.
Sheesh.
DJ since he was 14 years old.
Sheesh.
Started in 2005.
Sheesh.
That's right.
Sheesh.
Mr. D.O.
What's up?
Yeah. Welcome.
Man, thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you
My heart's pounding. My heart's pounding right now, dude. You are my favorite DJ, bro.
That's
like,
amazing,
it's not just because we have you on the show. Like, literally, you're my favorite DJ. When he told us that he booked this, dude, like,
that's crazy.
I'm not even, like,
That's dope, man. Yeah. No, we've been trying for a while, huh?
Yeah.
We finally got the date locked in, and yeah, so I'm stoked to be here. Thank you for the invite.
You're so much love in the IE. We had to keep this secret.
Yeah.
Because then we would have had like all of our homies like outside. But like,
we literally kept
this secret.
I told a couple of my, a lot of my homies.
No, actually, I got a couple of text messages.
I told a lot of my homies, and literally, no, they were literally asking, like, dude, I'm not kidding. I'll call off work.
They just don't know where Saul is.
I was like, guys, like, honestly, like, I don't want him bombarded with, like, you know, people just trying to ask for a picture and autographs and all that stuff. So, like,
that's cool.
All right, guys, you can come in.
They're all like, no, that's not, bro. Just sit there. They're coming in, bro. They're waiting for the okay.
Yeah, they're just waiting. That's hilarious, bro. That's funny.
Oh, man. Yeah, but thank you again so much. I was, honestly, last night, I had so many nightmares. I was like, because I had the dream that we're doing the podcast. And that every time we had to do it again because something went wrong. And then, like, we'll ask you a question.
Like,
and then,
audio or something?
No, like, audio footage. And then, like, you'll just get mad at us for a reason.
So, right now, you have the worst expectations.
No, I'm just scared.
I'm like, somehow you've lived through the worst. This is going to be chill. We're going to be chill, bro. Yeah, I'm really chill, bro. I'm really cool. Something happens, I'm like, it'll be all right.
By the way, this is the second time I meet Dororo, actually.
Oh, it is, right?
Yeah,
do you remember when you guys go way back? You remember the boy?
You kissed him when he was born.
I knew it looked familiar.
This was 2017 at Pomona at the Fox Theater.
You had a
pizza party thing before your set.
Yeah, it was for my album. Oh, I remember. Was that on the side?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Oh.
Took a picture of him, bro. Yeah.
You know what's funny, bro? I always think, damn, I'm not going to remember. But then, like, when I get shown a pic, it, like, I can recall, like, those moments, bro.
I went up to you shaking. I was like, I love your music, dude.
I think it was right before I started handing out the pizzas, right? I have a pizza box in my hand?
You had a pizza box in your hand.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And there was no more, but you had just given away the last slice, and I went to go take a picture. I was like, dude, I don't even give a fuck about the pizza. I just want to meet you. Fuck the pizza.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Dope. Like, dude, that's why it's crazy. Went from there, and then not to this. I was just like, never thought, like, I'd be in the same room
besides
that moment. And it was like, fuck, it's so cool, man.
That is cool, bro.
Yeah, you're literally like a legend in the Latino community. You're doing huge things. You're working with Mexico in the World Cup.
Oh yeah, I'm actually I don't know if I'm supposed to announce this, but
I'm gonna.
I'm doing it again this year. So
yeah.
Dude, they show me so much love, and it's crazy, bro. Because when you get put in front of these, you get put in stadiums full of people, you know. And the cool thing about it is it's really different than my normal shows.
Yeah.
Because I'm not playing for people that are my age. And now I'm playing for like our parents.
Ay, señores.
You know, and like, and not just that, but like, say for example, if it's Mexico versus Colombia, it's like I also gotta keep in mind. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm invited by the Mexico team, but I also keep in mind los colombianos también.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I study their music too. So I'll be playing some Colombian cumbias. I played Peruvian music when we went against Peru here at Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
I did Guatemala, you know, like I pay attention to everything. And then I don't just play EDM, bro. I play like stuff outside EDM. So I feel like I'm back at the house parties, you know, back in the day. So
make you feel at home.
That's cool. Yeah,
it's always that's why I always love your sets. Like, I'm over here fangirling as fuck right now. I'm not even kidding. Oh my God. But no, that's why I love your sets. Why you're one of my favorite DJs, because like yours is not just EDM. It's like you said, it's always a fun time. Anytime I've seen any sets, it never gets boring to me. Like, you can say, like, oh, I've seen this artist like 20 times. Yeah, it kind of gets, you know, stale, but not like every time you come out, I'm like, I'm at a party. Cause like I said, you're playing EDM, you're playing salsa, you're playing reggaeton, you're playing hip hop, you're playing you're playing all this stuff,
it's a house party.
And it's just a party when you're on your sets.
You know what? It's funny that you say that, because I recently had this conversation, and I specifically said, I was like, hey, like, you know what's cool is I remember when I played nothing but EDM. It was pure EDM. Like, it wasn't that, I was like, I think 2014.
When you were Tonic.
No, well, I was Dior already. I had already put out 5 hours. And then I would do is like play like a quick little Suavemente edit, and that was like about the only Latin thing I would do on my set. You know, because I was a little like nervous. It's just like, I didn't know, you know, back then it was very European inspired. The scene was very like English inspired, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was like, I hadn't really heard that much Latin stuff like that at festivals. So I was kind of like, all right, I'm gonna try this out, you know? And little by little, I'm just like, damn, this kind of works.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. It's like now you like at my shows, I see more and more raza, you know, like they just pull up and it's like, hell yeah, now I can for sure play all this shit, you know, and it's fun, bro.
Yeah.
And I think the whole me switching it up with genres comes from house parties.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, because like that's I feel like there's stuff from hip hop you can play that everybody can enjoy. There's stuff from merengue that everybody can enjoy, some reggaeton and even EDM, you know. And it's always try to aim for like, what would I dance to if I was down there?
True. That's fire. Yeah. True. And you have like a huge like a crowd presence, because you just recently like broke the record for
unofficially. Yeah, because like we hit up World Guinness, and then they were like, yeah, it's possible, you just have to be able to count.
Oh shit.
And I'm like, okay, so they're like, I was like, okay, so it's not possible.
Damn.
But it's definitely like, it's an I think so. You look at the video and you're like, okay,
because it's a pretty big
the record was like 17,000 people.
Yeah.
And like I was like, okay, that's more than that.
Yeah, that's like,
so you're like 17,000
EDC
won. We won.
I mean, it was something that I was like, if it's possible, that'd be dope to kind of like, you know, get my name on something like that. But it's fine, bro. It's fine.
We got it.
It's fine. Sure, I'm okay with what I saw. Like,
how did it feel like being able to like just everyone was just,
you know,
moving?
You know, it's funny, bro, because so when you play like intimate shows, like you can really interact with everyone, and you can see you can really like directly interact with each person individually. But when you're in front of a massive audience like that, bro, it's almost like you're just playing for one big beast, and like this beast is, and the whole goal is to make that beast dance.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You know, cool, and I do take moments to connect with the people that I can in the front.
That's so cool.
And but it's insane, bro. It's still, I still get nervous, you know. When I get nervous, I yawn a lot.
Oh really?
So it's funny, because you can ask my team. I'm off. Some people that don't know that, they're just like, "You're tired."
We're not cool.
I'm nervous, bro. Nervous, and it's funny because it just never fails, bro. Before I go on stage, I get nervous. It's just, but I think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It's a good thing.
But when you're on stage, do you feel nervous?
When I get on stage, it's like I think it's adrenaline, you know. Yeah. And I mean, like, even if I mess up, you know, like, now I'm not scared to mess up, bro. Yeah. If I mess up, I'm just like, oops.
That's how I went. That's how I
hit the base again.
It is what it is, you know, but it's fun. It's part of it. And and then it just goes by quick, you know, like, it doesn't matter how long the set is. It just feels like 10-15 minutes.
So how do you get to, how do you like learn to live in the moment, or how do you like try to live in that moment?
I try to slow down. So I remember back then I would just always keep looking down at the decks and just like, oh, what's the next song? What's the next song? You know? But now what I do is I do like to plan out like maybe like sections of the set. So for example, I'll plan out the first three songs, and then the next three I can kind of freestyle. Okay. And then I'll plan out another section of three songs. You know, like that's one of my favorite ways, because when they're planned, I can really kind of interact with the crowd.
Oh, I get you.
It's like I don't have to search for the next song or think about what I already know what the next song's gonna be. And sometimes the crowd, I'll feel the energy and I'll be like, okay, the way I had these three planned, I'm gonna actually switch the second one, you know, because like I feel like they want a little more energy, I feel like this is not really, you know, like if one of them has like a little bit of the dubstep or like 150, and they're not really feeling it, so that if the second one's gonna be 150, I'll change it down, you know, like I feed off the crowd, so that's one cool thing about it. But I still do kind of pre-plan stuff, just so that I can take a moment from looking up songs, and then I can kind of interact with the crowd and enjoy it, bro, and then also turn around, look at my team, be like, "What's up? We out here."
I want to ask you this for DJs, is it a drug when you guys hear the ooh,
ooh? Oh, you know what? Okay, so no, man. So yes, it is.
Exactly. You're like, nah, I hate that shit.
It's cool because it's basically the crowd telling you like, hell yeah, you know,
this song is going on.
You know, and it's funny because in Australia they have something similar, but they don't do the ooh, ooh. They just go woo. Like on the first beat, remember, you know, like, and it's just like that's like, it's cool to hear that, because once you hear that over there, that means it's like they fuck with what you're playing right now. Shit. You know, it's like a reminder. It's like the audience telling you,
keep doing your thing.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It was like El Chucky Lozano that's been coming out recently.
I think what was it? Who was it?
It was was it Gesture?
Don Diablo or someone in Mexico City.
It was for EDC Mexico.
Yeah, they played it, and then I think they expected to hear the tan, 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 but then everybody said El Chucky Lozano. It's funny because something like that happened to me too when I was in Orlando. Uh-huh. I was playing So when you play that in Orlando, that's their university song. That's the university song, bro. So like,
on accent, you're like, oh, all right.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, shit, because right after that, whatever the letters are, bro. Yeah. They say it out loud.
Oh, shit.
And I was just like, oh, crap. And then the promoter afterwards, he comes up to me and he goes like, that was genius. I planned that, bro. I do my research.
I do my research before I show up, you know?
Yeah. No, but you know what? Now I actually do. Like, for example,
just in case.
Like, you know, one of the things that we do is on Spotify, you can see, like, if I'm going to go, say, for like a random city, say Switzerland, and I go to a random city, I can see what songs of mine are played the most there, you know? And then I also look up the top 40 of that month and the top 40 of the month before, so I kind of get an idea of what the crowd will be more familiar with.
Gotcha. You know?
So and some cities are just like, holy crap, I could play one of my older songs here. For some reason, it's just popular here. Yeah, you know? So that's cool research to do. That's a good thing that came about, like Spotify and all that, all the stats and stuff.
You know, be like, you know what's popping right now will probably be a sick ass collaboration.
Yeah, of course.
Yes,
of course.
Peso Pluma.
Yeah, you know what? I'm trying to get. We're trying to work it, and you know, like right now, I'm working with I just got in touch with this dope ass guitarist. He's like, his name's Seth Cottingham. Have you heard of him?
Nah,
Seth. He's crazy, bro. If you look him up on Instagram, it's basically I think he's a white dude, he just plays sick corridos, bro. And I just found out he follows me. And I hit him up and I reached out to him and I was just like, yo, what's up, bro? I was like, you know, you're talented, you know, like let's work on something.
Yeah.
And he was like, what, bro? Like, bro, I used to listen to 5 hours sunrise to sunset, bro. And I was like, that's insane, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I'm gonna work with him, try to come up with some cool I'm trying to mix EDM and that kind of stuff.
Because there is
a way to do it. And I'm hoping, and I also have I think I have a way to get through to him through his label.
Hell yeah.
So, but first, I want some music. Yeah, you know? Yeah. And then, yeah. And you know who I just recently hit up too? I hit up Grupo Frontera.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And bro, a lot of them, they follow me too.
Yeah.
And, I recently hit them up too. And I was like, what's up? Like, you know, and they responded too.
Oh,
so,
shit.
Crossing my fingers.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be hard.
Yeah. It's fun, bro. It's a lot of good. I mean, bro, right now, Mexico with that whole shit is on top right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool, man. It's so cool to see that, like, that this kind of stuff is going worldwide.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because I feel like everywhere. It's, yeah. Like, we've always believed in it, but we wanted the rest of the world to believe in it, and now they're finally getting to see what we have to offer.
You know what? It's cool. It's cool because, like, for example, like, the Grupo Frontera stuff is, like, you know, that's why I got a lot of respect for some, like, people like Bad Bunny, mm-hmm. J Balvin's, and all those people that they really took Latin music and they made it worldwide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? I feel like, you know, and then also you can go all the way as far back as like Pitbull and stuff like that. Like mm-hmm. He also took like music worldwide, you know? Oh, yeah. Yeah, bro. And it's funny. I just got in touch with Pitbull too.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, for real? Oh, yeah.
That's
bro.
My bro.
Yeah. Because he did a remix for me for Bailar.
Yeah.
You know, uh-huh. But I was through the label.
Okay.
Was it the Discoteca one?
Oh, I did a remix. For Chino and for I Am Chino and Pitbull. Yeah. But I had never really talked to him directly, you know? But the other day, like, we were texting, you know? And like, I was like, well, what's up, fool? Like, it's crazy, dog. He's a legend, bro.
Who's an legends. Artist that you or artists, if you can name some, that you really want to work with? Because you already worked with like big DJs, right? Mm. But I'm talking about like artists as in like, you know, singers, because you worked with Chris Brown, of course.
Yeah.
You worked with I'm blanking out right now, dude. I don't know why I'm blanking out.
Elvis Crespo.
Of course, yeah. So who's some artists that you'd be like, dude, I really want to work with this singer?
You know what? I mean I can this the list is long, you know, but off the top of my head, I would love to work with Mana.
Oh,
I'd love to, and you know what? I think I'm already in connection with, I think, someone from their team. I'd love to work with people like Café Tacuba, and Anitos Verdes. And then also, bro, like Paulina Rubio, Thalia. You know, like, bro, like all those, because like I grew up listening to that.
Yeah, stuff. All the classics. Yeah.
Yeah. So right now it's like, so far I've been like, you know, I've managed to collaborate with Elvis Crespo, Tucanes, you know, Ángeles Azules. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's dope. I'm on a roll with people that I grew up with. I wonder if, like, who else I can reach out to. And, you know, it's just a matter of like, I mean, I don't like to force things, you know, like if it happens then great.
Yeah.
You know, but I definitely like, I study a lot of this music. Like if Mana says they're down, like I've already heard a lot of their music recently because I'm really hoping it happens, but that'd be sick, bro, to have Mana on the track.
Yeah. When
that'd be wild.
The first time that, like, going back, I was going, let's do some throwback memories. When you got your like first huge collaboration or first step, or like that first next step into what you will become. How was that feeling? How did you take that?
You know
that
what?
In?
I feel like it was a series of events. I mean, I feel like there was moments that were key to really making me go from local to
worldwide,
to domestic, to then international. Yeah, yeah. I feel like I think Laidback Luke helped me. He was probably the main person to really pull me into the industry. Mm-hmm. And I was, he signed my track Bounce onto his label. Yeah. And then from there, Steve Aoki was the one who really, Laidback Luke helped me with getting my music onto labels. Mm-hmm. You know, that was like my first experience with him. And then Steve Aoki took me under his wing and then I went on tour with Steve Aoki. Mm.
Because you, him, and Diplo have the song Freak together, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. It eventually led to that. But then I also got lucky with a specific song called Big Fat in Australia.
Oh, okay.
This song just blew up, bro. It blew up in Australia and, like, it was just everywhere on the radio there.
Oh, shit.
And, like, but I was still over here playing, like, 200 people rooms.
But, like, in Australia, it was going wild.
And Australia was massive, bro. That's massive. Sick. So let me tell you how big it was. So here I was opening up for Blend. Blend also helped me out a lot. DJ Blend?
DJ
Remember
Blend.
DJ Blend?
Chucky Mask.
So he helped me out a lot, too. He would take me on tour. And I was playing like 200 to 400 capacity rooms, but they weren't my crowd. They were Blend's crowd. And then, but in Australia, I got booked. I had to leave one weekend off of Blend's tour and I had to go to Australia. And it was Steve Angelo, Skrillex, and then I closed out the festival.
Oh, jeez. So how is that like? So you go to Australia, right? You close out a festival. Now you got to go back to a 200 room.
So okay. So let me show you how I took it, right? Uh-huh. The way I took it, I was just like, I don't know what happened. I know that being on that stage to me was just, it was, I don't know what it was, but the way I took it was life giving me a taste of what I could have if I keep working hard.
You know, if you got it.
Because like I was on that stage and I was nervous, bro. I don't think I looked at the crowd once. I was just looking down, terrified, bro. Yeah. And there's a video of me playing Big Fat online. It's, if you look up Big Fat Good Life Festival,
we can search it up.
The
right
people,
now.
Yeah, the people go crazy as soon as you hear it. And like, I just could not believe it was real, bro. I was asking, like, I don't think this is real, bro. I think that like, it's almost as if like, is this like, am I about to be pranked right now? Like, yeah. What's going on? And it was very, you know, I was like, hell yeah. When I got off stage, I was like, I want this.
Nice.
I want this.
That was like the taste. What year was that for you on that one?
I think I had just turned like, oh man. If you look it up, look it up.
Good 2012, life. 2013 maybe?
My time perception is the worst. Good Life Festival.
Because you dropped one of your first singles, Ye, in 2013, right? With Hardwell?
Yeah, record, okay, revealed, so then this record, was after. Recordings? Okay, so this the Good Life Festival was before. Just put Good Life Festival, Big Fat. I was going to look it up on YouTube.
Oh, okay, let me.
Would you say that...
there it is.
Oh, there you are.
2012, bro.
2012.
The world was ending.
Oh, yeah, when the world was ending.
The world was ending.
Oh, you're like, fuck, I got to play. Let's go.
It was a trip, man. And so you can hear the crowd. It's only 14 seconds long. Oh.
So I don't got a YouTube premium. My bad. Oh, shit.
Oh, damn. And now there's a part, bro.
Oh, they're going crazy.
That guy's way too big to be on someone's shoulders. Are you on someone's
He's
shoulders?
On his girl's shoulders for Leo Malone.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's Australia?
This is Australia. This is in Melbourne, yeah. Melbourne or Sydney? One of those two.
So just in that first couple of people that they're shooting, it's like 200 people already.
Yeah, this is way more than what I was used to, bro.
Whoa.
On the drop.
That's crazy.
So yeah, look at.
And then I went back, and when you fly from Australia, say you leave on Saturday, 10 a.m., you land in L.A., on Saturday at 9 a.m.
Yeah,
so
they're like
an hour behind back.
Yeah.
So in the same day, I did a show. I think that was like 30,000 people. I also did a show for 400 people when I came back.
Oh, wow.
To open up for Blend.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I remember when I was at the show, it was like a hall, like a little hall. And then while I was playing, like three songs in, people were just chanting, DJ Blend, DJ Blend. And I was just, nothing could faze me, bro. I was like, I don't care. I'm happy, bro. Yeah, I'm happy. Dope. I just played a
You're like, these guys
festival.
Don't know. Y'all don't know.
I was like, it's okay, bro. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm moving to Australia. Fuck
you. That helped me kind of like start getting more shows in Australia.
Yeah.
You know, so technically that's what broke me internationally and started going out. And then after that, working with like Steve Aoki and getting on certain labels, I got the attention of like Hardwell and then Spinning, and then I got the collaboration with Rehab with Flashlight. And yeah, man, it just slowly started. And it's crazy how it all happened within a matter of like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You know, and I got like DJ Mag, like the highest new entry. And it was just crazy, man. It was just so much, and I was just overwhelmed, you know?
That's amazing. I always like going back to this reference because I heard it on it's like the best reference ever. It's I said it even last episode too.
Yeah.
The Joe Rogan and Kevin Hart episode. Kevin Hart, he mentioned, he's like, you gotta be ready for your rocket ship to take off. Like everybody's rocket's gonna take off, and it's up to you to know where the button's at, to know if you got the seatbelt. So like the analogy is like, you got like, everybody's gonna have their big moment, but are you ready for that moment? Like all your work, your work ethic, or your catalog, it's all going to get noticed one day. But when that day comes, are you ready?
That's funny.
And I think that's where you feel like the overwhelming.
You know what? Damn, I don't think I could have ever been ready. You know, I feel like with being ready, it's like I think you could be prepared, right?
Uh-huh.
So over prepare.
Yeah, over prepare.
I don't like, for example, like when I have two boys, I don't think you could ever really be ready to have kids. I think you could be prepared, but it's once you have kids, you're just like, holy shit.
It's a whole, man. It's a whole, you know? Different.
Cause
thing.
I mean, when I started, so I had my kids young, bro. And, my career started taking off, and like, I had to try to balance
oh, that's
my family and everything, you know? And like, it was so bad that like I was just like, you know what, I can't do this. I announced I was gonna retire and everything, bro.
Oh, no, yeah.
I was just like, you guys, like I got I didn't tell them the reason, but I needed to stay home, bro. Yeah. I needed to take care of my family. There was, you know, a lot of personal stuff happening. And then, like, I remember I got off the road and I went home. And then my family was like, what are you doing? Like, get back on the road. You know, like, you live your dream. Mm-hmm. And, like, they, like, you know, they slapped me up. They were like, wake good. Up, bro. Like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. You know, go fucking live your dream. And yeah, I was like, yeah. Damn. You know, and, yeah, I didn't retire.
No, that's dope. Good.
You know, but, it was crazy because, like, there's no book that tells you, hey, this is how you handle shit when you start blowing up. You know, it's like you kind of, because everyone is different. Everyone has different lives. And, yeah, I see what you mean by, like, you know, I think that's a great analogy. Like, are you ready? Like, it's just like, fuck, like, how do you even know if you're ready too? You know?
Right, yeah.
Like, I think you just have to, I got lucky, bro, because I had I think, The reason why I'm here and where I'm at right now, the reason why I still have things like EDC coming up, I have things like other stuff planned, is because I have a great team. You know, at work, I have a great team. I have a great manager. You know, and then they have a great team. Mm-hmm. And then at home, I have the most amazing wife. You know, my family takes care of me. They have my back. And I think that's really important, bro.
For sure.
It's important to surround yourself with people that want the best for you and that you want the best for them. And mm-hmm. I think that's what makes you family, whether you're related or not. You just know, that's like, I mean, like, I have people that are blood related, but it's just like, it's just, it's really toxic.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like, I have people that I'm not related to, but we want the best for each other. And that's what you can consider family.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, I don't know yet, but like, I feel it's like once you like make it and there's family, it's like they feel, I don't know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but do you think they feel like obligated to like, oh, well, we grew up cousins, so here, give me some money, or give me this, put me on, do that. Do you get that, or how?
Yeah,
how
man, you feel? It's kind of sad. You know, I mean, I've cherished, you know, certain memories that I've had, but I sometimes question is just like, you know, what would have happened if I would have never blown up? You know, like, mm-hmm. would family still try to reach out?
Yeah.
I mean, it's something I'll never know. I still, like, you know, if they're in town, you know, if I'm playing, like, in a town where they're at, like, I'll still invite them out to the show, and they'll still get tickets and everything, you know? But it's crazy, man, because, you know, this lifestyle is it's overwhelming when, you know, one thing I tell my family, bro, is, like, look, like, always feel free to hit me up,
mm-hmm.
you know? I would ask, that's actually possibly one of the best ways to always stay connected.
Yeah.
You know, I wake up, I probably have 100 calls, 100 messages, calls and emails and things I have to do a day.
Whoa.
You know? And like, if I have a moment to text family, it's going to be my kids, my wife, my parents, you know, like, and like, it's just overwhelming on my end, you know, but that's part of it.
Yeah.
It's part of the job. And, but then like, I have family that will just shoot me a text like, hey, you know, just thinking about you, cuz, you know, thinking about you, mijo, you know, like, you know, hope you're well. And that's like, good. That's what I like to see.
Yeah. Yeah. The little checkups.
Like, yeah, bro. And if I have 5 minutes, I'll call.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo, like, you know, thank you for calling, you know, like it's cool because I just recently got reconnected with my brother as well. Like,
oh,
I
have a brother. It's good.
And like, you know, I had him come and hang out with us for a couple of days so he can kind of get the gist of how things work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always on the go. And, you know, what's crazy is that at my level, it's like, it's already this busy. I can only imagine being like at a Marshmallow level, you know, like at a Steve Aoki level, like at a higher level, you know, it's just like, it's insane. You know, it's like, I know right now I have a really good balance with my family and my work. But it's just like, damn, you know, like if I still have a lot more to go.
Yeah.
You know, I would like to be able to get in DJ Mag again. You know, it's just a matter of putting out good music, bro. Hopefully people like it.
No, you're killing it for sure. You're killing it.
Yeah,
I feel like every year you're just getting bigger and bigger.
Thank you, bro. Exactly. Thank you.
It's great. Well,
that's
to see.
Great, man. That makes you feel a lot better. Sometimes I'm just like, damn, I hope I'm not losing fans.
Nah, bro. Dude, you have a solid
The bigger you're just gaining and gaining, and no one's losing it. Because, like, so fun fact about me, you kind of put me on like EDM and the lifestyles, and I was like 16.
Oh, now he's crazy in EDM.
And it's kind of cool. Like, you are my favorite DJ as well, so we appreciate you a lot.
Man. Thank you.
And I created like a giant rave family. Like, we just went to a winery, and like, out of the 30 people, like 15 or 20 I created from like just going out to raves and
that's dope.
Stuff like that. And it was just like, and I think about it, I'm like, damn, this is like started because of you.
Yeah, bro.
So I was like super cool.
Rave fans fun, bro. I remember I was in a rave fam. I was in a rave fam called Retro Ravers.
Retro Ravers.
You guys had what was your totem? You have what was your totem?
Oh, no, this is before totems, bro.
Oh, damn. Oh, yeah.
Then we had, the best we had was t-shirts. Yeah, bro, so the totems, I remember when they came about, I was just like, people were at first when they were just like, we couldn't even see DJ, so many totems. Yeah. I was just like, damn. But some of these totems, at first they were just like, they were simple, but now they're fucking hilarious, bro, and they're creative.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, back then, bro, there wasn't that many. There was flags. Uh-huh. There was flags, but back then, it's funny you say that. I didn't even think of totems.
What's been like the one totem that stood out to you that you've seen?
So it's actually a more personal one. First, I got to tell you this quick little story. So back when I was like 4 or 5 years old, I lived in these apartments with, you know, my mom and dad and my sister. And we had a little piano, and I learned how to play like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, bro, and then like I think another little part of another song, and then I thought I was ready for a concert. So I made flyers, bro, out of paper, and then I went to put them on every apartment. Whoa. To invite people for a concert. My parents didn't even know about this. and next thing you know, my mom shows up, and then there's a bunch of kids in our living room, and I'm like playing the piano for them, bro. And then, like, my aunt used to live upstairs, and my mom was like, hey, like, come down here. Like, what the hell's going on? You know, like, and it was funny because there was also a couple parents there, too.
Oh, wow.
and like, it turned out, I ended up just, like, playing it for a little bit, and, like, and we were just playing. It was just, like, a little party.
Yeah.
And then my mom, I don't know how it happened, but we ended up ordering pizza, and it was, to me, one of the best days.
That's dope.
You know,
that
and it's dope. Funny. So I recently remembered that story because my mom found a flyer.
Oh.
And I posted it, and it said Eric's Adventures. And I even misspelled it.
It was your whole festival, right?
I misspelled it, bro. It was hilarious. So at one of my shows, someone had a they blew up the invite.
Oh,
and
it said,
this is Eric's Adventures now.
Yo, that's beautiful.
Oh, that's, you know?
That's like a nice.
And I was just like,
moment.
It made me cry, bro.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's cool. That's
bro,
beautiful.
You know?
It's a full circle.
Yeah, man, it's full
circle. All I carry is a Mexico flag with me everywhere.
Okay. Can we talk about that, though? Last year, I went to EDC and I saw your set.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I literally went by myself because, like, my friends were like, I tend to lose everyone when I go raving on purpose. But your set, I just felt so involved. But the Mexico flags that were there,
oh yeah,
it was like a wave of them, bro. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Like, honestly, I'm so lucky to be a part of such a beautiful culture, and I think all cultures are beautiful, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you talk about any culture, I can go on and on about the Indian culture, the Japanese culture, Italian culture. I can go on about every culture, you know. And I think that's what I'm trying to influence now, where it's not just about like the Latino culture, but it's just about every culture.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here because this is what I have to offer. I'm gonna offer you the Latino culture because that's what I know, right? That's what raised me. So, but even now on stage, I'm just like, where's all my Latinos at? You know, and I say, where's all my non-Latinos at? You know, like, what's up? We're all here, you know? And it's a beautiful thing, you know? Like, I got my visuals. Like, I get all the Latino flags up, you know? And then, like, and then I do the Caballo Dorado because that's something I grew up with, you know? And it's so cool to see. I'll pay attention, and I can see there's, like, people that are obviously not Latino, but they'll be, like, right next to them.
And they're, like,
we're trying to show them.
It's fun, bro. It's great. It's, like, it's a massive celebration. And it's, like, it's so cool to take something that, you know, I'm so used to doing at houses and then doing it in a festival setting.
Yeah, and crap.
You know, and I'm so lucky I get to do that.
Yeah,
you know, because like that to be able to go on stage in front of someone like some that many people and do something like that, it's just like that kind of opportunity. You can't just go and buy that.
That's like things people dream of.
Yeah, that's like a whole like that's
it's crazy,
a word.
Bro. It's
yeah,
crazy. Yeah, I really am grateful, and like, dude, I always try to tell people like, thank you so much for allowing me to be up here.
Yeah, I heard a crazy story about you like. Staying super late for your fans and like you should like literally took a picture with every single person.
Yeah, you know,
and all that stuff, and that's so cool.
Yeah, man. So like I would always make sure with security because obviously security they want to go home. And you know, and I always let them know it's cool if I do it. Like, yeah, man. And sometimes they're even like, yeah, this is actually amazing.
Yeah. Let me get a picture too.
And I'm like, all right. And I tell everybody like, yo, if you know, if you're willing to wait for me, I'll wait for you. And people will stay, bro. Yeah. Like, they'll stay for, like, till... Like, I think in El Paso, I did, like, a three-hour, like, meet and greet after the show. So, I think I was done, like, at 5 a.m., bro.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy, man. It was insane. And it's still... It's cool, man, because it's not hard to do. And plus, like, every person has something different to say. And it's, like, it's so nice. People will say, oh, my God, like, you know, like, thank you for doing this. Or this song is my favorite. Mm-hmm. Or, like, this song saved my life.
Even people getting married at your...
Yes. Status. I just recently I helped someone propose this past weekend.
Yeah. Oh, what?
Yeah. Like, I kind of got off stage and this guy was like, can you help me propose to my girl? So I was like, yeah, man. Like, when? You know, he's like, right now. I was like, oh, shit. So I had everybody open, make some room. I think Edgar got it on video, right, Eden? I think Edgar got it on video, the proposal this weekend?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we're going to post that. Yeah, so I had everyone open it up. Everyone was like, what's going on? And then, like, I had the dude stand right there, and then he proposed to his girl. I was just like, I told him, too. I was just like, hey, thank you for letting me be a part of that. Like, that's insane, dope. You know? Like, even birthday parties, when people say, or birthdays, they come out and they say, hey, today's my birthday. You know, I'm like, damn, thank you for choosing me, you know, thank you for coming out and spending it with me, like, your birthday, you know, like, I feel special when people, like, decide to celebrate their birthday at, like, one of my shows, you know, so it's like, damn, like, that's crazy, so I always keep in mind, like, I've been saying, like, whenever someone tweets me, oh, today's my birthday, you know, if you give me a shout-out, I'll just randomly say it through my set.
Oh, yep. Fire.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Damn it. I should have known that. Two of my birthdays at his sets before.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because my birthday lands every time, it's always countdown.
Oh,
and I've been to like three countdowns, and then there's 2 years where you were there. If I see you on a list, dude,
that's cool, bro.
I'm gonna go.
That's like, awesome.
Like, I don't even care about anyone else. Like, if I see you on a list, I'm gonna go.
That's cool.
Right? Like, and of course, if I have the funds for that, you know, for that moment. So, like, yeah, there's like 2-3 times where I've seen you, and no matter what, I was like, I don't even care my friends. I don't care if I go alone, guys. I'm going here at 10, 11, 12, whatever time your set is. I'm like, fuck y'all. Like, I don't care about who's mainstream right now. No disrespect. I don't care. I'm gonna go watch them. I don't even care if I see them 25 times.
And then it just feels like you're with your primos dancing.
Yeah.
No, because you're like alone.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? Some people they'll be like, hey, this is like my 20 something time seeing you. And I'm like, damn, bro, that's wild like, you know. And then also, that also encourages me to always have something fresh, you know, because I don't want them to be like, all right, I think that's enough, you know. It's like, I always try to hit them with surprises. And, you know, like, right now I'm starting to work on my EDC set, and I'm just like, I don't even know where to start, you know. But I somehow always manage, you know, sure, like, there's really big songs right now, you know. I am working on having special guests, but the thing about Vegas is it's difficult because, you know, it's EDC, and, like, to get hotels and stuff.
Oh,
you
know, it's already booked
since now, bro.
If you want to have a guest, it's like, you got to plan it in advance.
You can stay in the backseat of my car.
Months
bro.
In advance. Yeah.
Sneak into car.
You want to sit in my tub in my hotel, bro?
Chris Brown just chilling on the pull out couch.
But yeah, man, like, it's, you know, but sometimes things are possible, sometimes things are not. You know who I was actually trying to get that, it turned out that it wasn't going to be possible. And it would have been so sick to have them, Tucanes.
Oh, yeah,
they were like, we were talking about it in the beginning of the year, too, saying, like, oh, it looks like that day's open. Hell yeah.
Hyped.
And then I think there was miscommunication between, like, the agent. The agent was just like, that thing's not open. I was like, damn. You know? But it's cool, bro. I'm always trying, you know, because I was definitely, like, the crowd. I'd love to, you know, give the crowd a nice little treat, something like that, you know, like. But regardless, you know, even if no guests are possible, like, I still try to, you know, surprise them. I know there's a lot of requests, bro. I always pay attention to requests.
You get, like, people on their foreheads, like, one bad bunny type.
But I mean, like, at a festival, it's hard to read the phone.
Especially EDC guys are like,
but like, you'll see the week of EDC, I'm going to tweet. I'm going to be like, all right, shoot the request.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, that's where I'll see, like, okay, the majority of people want this, you know. So if it's like the number one request, I'm not gonna just play that song. I'm probably gonna remix that song, you know. And if it's like, if I, the second request, I'll probably make an edit of that song. And third request, I was like, okay, I'll just play that song just for momentarily, you know. Mm-hmm.
How do you do a back-to-back set with someone? If it's unplanned,
that's actually
so the unplanned ones are obviously like, they're well, They're easier because you don't have to worry about it until you start playing.
Okay.
And then you just play as you go. Those are fun. But the way me and Valentino Khan have been doing it, we've done a couple that are just like on the spot. But our escape one, we like planned that one the whole week before. And you know, we're going back and forth. I send him what tracks I want to play. He sends me his tracks, and then we kind of start meshing them into the sets. And then as we number them. Okay, you play this one, that play that one. Yeah. You know, so that one's pretty cool too. Plus, when you plan tracks like that, bro, we have like our production people that, like, you know, my wife, she does the special effects, the fireworks.
I wanted to ask about that.
Yeah, and then like I think Valentino was using his visual guy, and then we were using my lighting guy. So when we have planned out sets, we all get the sheet of the set, so then they know exactly what to do ahead of time. Instead of just like waiting to see what song's next, and they're like, oh shit, okay, like, you know, where like she can already plan out the set in advance, see where the pyro is gonna go, where the CO2 is gonna go, where the fire is gonna go, damn, and where the confetti is gonna go.
Yeah, it's like a whole script.
Yeah,
it's like you're directing a movie.
That's what I always say. I'm always in charge of making me sound cool. They're in charge of making me look cool.
Okay.
So yeah, like the show's not just me. Like, you know, yeah, for the most part, I go on stage and just push play.
Yeah, because when the CO2 like explodes or something, it just
they plug it, especially with EDC. I think my wife sometimes she's behind me downstairs, like with there's like there's the people that cue it for the front of house, and then they do the fireworks. So it's like, it's always different, but it's so cool to see like, you know, when you have shit like that planned out, bro, it's just like insane. The show just goes to another level.
Yeah.
You know?
So do you, you rewatch your sets? Like after you do an EDC, do you go home and just like watch it? How does that?
Production does. Uh-huh. They like to fine tune, like, okay, like maybe the fireworks didn't work here. Then let's try the next song. You know, like it's good to watch it to see if what we planned out actually, because when I'm on stage, I can't really see the lights, how they look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't really see the visuals, and like some fireworks are behind me. I can't really see much of that. And like, it's crazy because sometimes I'll see pictures of videos that people post on Twitter, and I'm just like, that's what it looked like.
You're like, with the
lights, because like when the lights are pointing away from you, you can't really see it. But when you're in front of it and you see the lines of the lights and everything, it's insane. It's a whole different show. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons why we play it back. And then another thing is also, say like I have EDC coming up. So what I'm watching right now is I'm watching my last EDC set and then the EDC set before that. And then I'm also listening to my Beyond set and my Escape set, just so that I don't really play it too similar, you know, because like I have some songs that I like to bring back, and like I don't know if I played them at certain shows already recently. So I do try to change it up. So yeah, there are good reasons to listen to stuff.
That's fine. Yeah.
It must be hot when you guys get that pyro like for the fire. Because if I can feel it all in the back of EDC, you're right there. I'm just I'm like 500 feet away.
You're so, like, your eyes just burned.
Yeah, 100%. So I just played Ultra, right? And it was during the daytime, and the sun, there's no escaping it. It was in my face the whole time. That's why I took my glasses off. You know, I was like, hell no. I know I'm about to get burnt. I was
I took my glasses off
and I was like, fuck it. I just vitamin D, bro. Vitamin D, no, fuck it. And then they started doing the flames. You know, did you cue those? Yeah, so she queued those up. And like, I know you know I was cooking up there. But it just looks so cool.
She's
bro.
Like, mucha ropa.
if she's upset with me, she's gonna cook me extra, bro.
This is for the last argument right here.
No, but man, the thing is it's still like the adrenaline kind of it gets hot, but the adrenaline kind of is like, hell yeah, this is badass. I feel like
Burn.
It's intense, bro. But there has been times where like I have to turn away. I have to look the other way.
Yeah.
I feel like my eyebrows are about to burn off.
Ultra, when it's all hot at Ultra.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely got a couple shades darker.
Funny. Speaking of Ultra, like to you, out of your whole career, what would you say is like, because you've played like the biggest events, like, you know, ever created. What is your favorite event to go back to and play at?
Oh man, I've hit some festivals that they each have their own thing. Like one of my favorite festivals in Europe is called Perugaville. I even got it tattooed.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, whoa.
Little PV.
Oh,
I can't really see it, but it's a little PV right here. Well, I got it tattooed because I lost a bet with them.
They're like, I love it so much. I'm not kidding.
No, but like I was really okay with it because, I mean, the guy Yuli, he's a legend. And it was funny because when I first had an interview at one of his clubs, there's this club called Boots House. Mm-hmm. And if you talk to any DJ, they'll tell you Boots House is one of the craziest clubs in the world. Mm-hmm. Right? It's in Cologne, Germany. And it's one of the only clubs where you'll see girls in high heels mosh pitting.
Oh, wow.
You know? What the fuck? It's insane. It's amazing, brother. It's amazing. Yeah. So they also do a festival, and it's called Perucaville. And Perucaville is one of the most beautiful festivals. And plus, when you go back there, backstage, they have McDonald's. Like, they have a truck, and get free Big Macs and free McFlurries. And they have, like, a dressing room, like a wardrobe, and you can just choose whatever you want, like, in quality jackets and sweaters and shirts. And it's like, just take whatever you want. You know, so it's like things like that. And then you go to like things like Tomorrowland, and then you just, it's amazing. So like, it's insane, the experiences. And you have, you know, EDC is also amazing. Yeah. The art installations at EDC.
Yeah.
Then you have your, oh man, I think my favorite, I don't know which EDC is my favorite. The reason why I love Mexico EDCs is because in the back you have Las Doñas making canasadas and shit.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, bro. So there's so much. That like, there's not just my one favorite festival.
Yeah,
there's you know, Coachella is also a crazy vibe.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's just like you're going to run into, you're gonna be standing next to someone that you don't even fucking realize, and it's gonna be someone like fucking like Kendrick, like Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, like fucking like bro, like they're just gonna be chilling there, you know, and it's just, that's normal when you're backstage, you know, so it's like there's so many. I can go on all day about festivals.
Have you played at every... My bad, dude. Oh, have you played at every single EDC? Like, all the ones around...
Orlando. I've done the... Mexico City. I've done...
Vegas.
Vegas.
Japan?
I don't think I've done Japan.
Would you like to do that one?
Hell yeah, bro.
Yeah. Japan.
Bro, man, the mix you would come wild. Out with?
How many EDCs are there?
I don't know. I thought there was like
five or six, right?
I think so. Yeah, and I think they had a couple other ones that they're not really doing anymore too. Like, yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But
hey, Rex, what was that that club in Germany that's like secret? What was the secret one?
It's in Berlin. That's where they play like techno.
What was it called? Okay. Remember?
The name, to be honest,
it was like a super like exclusive club where like even Paris Hilton got declined at.
Oh,
do you know
damn.
What I'm talking about? Mm-mm. What was it?
It's an underground rave, right?
Yeah, it's an underground rave. It's like sick. Even Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon Musk was declined. Yeah. What was it called?
So who gets allowed?
It's empty.
There's like literally a certain, like, there's like, you can try, like you can go on Google, and then if we get the name, but you can do like a little quiz, see if they'll let you in. But it's like straight vibes. Like, if
I
they
wonder what it takes to get in there.
Right?
I mean, as a DJ, if you get invited, you're good. You know, you have to go play.
It's a house.
Yeah, it's like
house. It's techno.
Yeah, it's like in a warehouse, and it's like one of the most craziest parties, but it's like so exclusive. And like, it's not like you can't just be like the richest person. Like, you have to be, like, your vibe has to be cool.
It's called Bernhan?
Bernhan
Club in Berlin.
Wow, no, I've never heard of it. Well, it must mean I'm not cool then.
So you travel all around the world. Do you know like multiple languages or you know?
I can get, I know thank you, and almost like, hella languages.
That's
dope.
I know thank you. I know hello. Like, I know, you know, I know in Japan, I know how to tell the chef, like, hey, thank you so much for this amazing meal, master.
Nice. How do you say it?
How do you say it?
Okay, hold on. Let me get
on. It's
okata desu. Taisho okata desu.
Nah, dang.
It's arigato gozaimasu. Yeah.
You mean,
that's
Tomorrowland's in Belgium, so how do you say thank you in Belgian?
Belgium? No, that's German. No.
Can you get away with Danke?
Danke. I was thinking Danke, but I know Danke. That's German.
Just German. Yeah.
It depends, because out there too, like, I think the language, the German language, also crosses over to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Dutch and German are very similar. Belgium.
I think it's with the pronunciation that's different a little bit.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Okay. Yeah. Like, obrigado is Portuguese.
Yeah.
Xie xie. Chinese.
Yeah. Oh, there's EDC China, isn't there?
Oh, there is EDC. Oh, I think I did that one. Did we do EDC China? Yeah, I think we did. That's the one right before COVID hit. Yeah, yeah, from COVID.
It's so crazy. Like, you've done so many EDCs.
Like, I know, that it's like a big venue. Like, did we do that again?
It's crazy. No, because, like, I know they also have Creamfields out there. Yeah. And, like, you know, it was EDC.
Is there any big event that you still haven't played that you would love to? I know you've been to so many. So, like,
Definitely. I'd love to do any of the snow ones.
Oh, that'd be
the ones that are in the snow,
like Norway or like Sweden or something.
Yeah,
like
they have like there's like a Tomorrowland that's like in the snow.
I've seen that one on YouTube.
Yeah, those are amazing, bro. I'd love to do one.
It looks
of those.
Beautiful. I've seen like little like
In Norway. So when the kids graduate from high school, what they do is they go out to the mountains, and they all get like these buses, like school buses and like all kinds of vans and buses, and they basically turn them into they give them like their own vibes, you know. And each bus has its own theme. So there was one group of graduates that made an entire bus, a 5 hours bus.
Oh shit! Yeah.
So they all go out and it's like in the middle, like of the mountains, and it's freezing, bro. Yeah. It's freezing. It's cold as hell, and they have like they get these like food trucks, and it's super cool. And like the Norwegian donuts that they have, the traditional ones, you have to try them before you die, bro. They're amazing, and it's like it's crazy because they'll come in and out of the forest. They'll go do like zip lining, and then there's helicopters that drop them off, and they're just having the time of their lives, bro.
This is once they graduate high school.
Yeah, it's tradition.
Whoa! So, I thought you were saying they go to the forest to go do drugs and they come back.
It's crazy. So then like after I was, so they had a stage, right? They had a stage. They had me. I think they also had Steve Aoki, and each band, like each bus, like. If you don't want to be at those stages, at the stages, you can go inside. They're like party buses, bro. That's so bad. They have like DJs inside each band and bus. Yeah. Bro. It's insane. It's a dope vibe, man.
Glad you're in the wrong place.
Yeah, no, for real. All we got, we didn't even get Grand Night. We got kicked out of Grand Night.
Oh, no,
we got like a random festival, a random carnival.
Man, we went to Universal Studios
without Joro. So it's
like, that's crazy.
I asked about the language thing because I want to ask you because we are sponsored by this game called Yo Sabo.
Yo Sabo,
have you heard of
Yo
Sabo?
I say Yatusabo.
Yatusabo.
Yatusabo is terrible.
So how do you think, how's your Spanish? What would you say? Like, are you, you
know, Sabo? What kind of, we're talking about like Mexican Spanish?
Yeah, two different things.
Yeah, it's good. Of course.
All right, for sure. Let me shout out Yo Sabo real quick. It's a great time to shout out our sponsors of this episode, Yo Sabo the Game. Yo Sabo the Game is a small business started by these first generation Latinos. Yo Sabo the Game is a new card game for your next game night. It started off as a game to remember some tricky Spanish words, but has evolved in a way to reconnect with your childhood and share some funny moments with your friends and family. Do not worry, you can still win the game by answering Latino trivia or by winning challenges on the Chancla card. So make yourself a drink, pour some shots, and get ready for game night. Tú sabes. So I got three cards for all three of us.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
And let's see.
Run it.
Si sabemos.
A ver si sabemos.
O no sabo. First one. Prueba time. What is the breed of the hairless Mexican dog?
I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's a XO.
The one from Coco.
Chola. It's what the Chola, Tijuana Team Cholos are named after.
I can't say it, but it's Cholo Weeks.
Yeah, I cannot pronounce that word.
Honestly, if it wasn't for Coco, I wouldn't know that.
Shout out Coco. All right, this one's pretty tough. ¿Cómo se dice leash?
Correa.
Correa, what do you say?
Fuck, I'm not even gonna do. Fuck,
leash
for like a dog, right?
I can tell you how I would say. I don't know how the proper. Like, you're right. Maybe I don't know my.
How would you say it?
It's something like that. I don't know. But, I mean, that's the thing.
What would I say?
I don't know.
Nah, I don't think
leash.
Soga? Nah, not soga. But yeah,
I don't think I've ever said the word. So
yeah,
I never
needed. Correa.
Yo sabo.
My mom would be mad if she sees me. Si sabo.
Since you work around with a lot with the computers, ¿cómo se dice keyboard?
Teclado.
Yeah.
Give me another one.
He's feeling good now.
I'm on fire now.
Two for two. Okay, how about this? ¿Cómo se dice tray?
Tray?
Yeah, tray.
Plato, no.
Yeah, like a tray, like.
Like
food
a,
tray.
Like a food tray?
Yeah.
I would say plato. El tray. That's a mesera.
That's a waitress. Yeah. Bandeja.
Bandeja.
You guys know I was that? Close, bandeja? Bro. Hey, you.
I
was
close. I had it on my head, bro. I knew it started with the B.
Oh, I don't know. I probably would have said charola or something, bro.
Charola. Yeah, charola. Charola. Yeah. Charola. Yeah. Charola.
All right, last one. You guys ready?
Oh, damn.
¿Cómo se dice? Headphones.
Audiculares.
What would you say?
Audiculares.
Not it.
Audifonos?
Audifonos.
Oh. But you know what, though? I think it depends on where we're located.
Yeah. Both. I've heard both. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we used to call it audifonos.
I've been saying audifonos. Yeah.
But I've heard that one, too, though.
And that wraps up our Yo Sabo segment. Thank you. Yo Sabo. I guess we do.
I guess Dioro. Si sabe.
What's up, guys? Before we continue with today's episode, we're going to shout out our friends at Manscaped. Gentlemen. If you didn't know, it's tax season. It's tax season here in the U.S., and you know what that means? It means that Manscaped is here to make sure your paperwork is done and your boys downstairs are having fun. Make sure you spend your tax return money on the important things this year, like family, friends, and body deodorant. Join the 8 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com plus free shipping and using code IEFRIENDS. Guys, again, how many times I gotta tell you, this has been my favorite product. This is the products in my bathroom. Manscaped's the one I use the most. I even want to do like a cool little video I've been thinking about doing using Manscaped products. But go get it, y'all. It's approved, man.
Get it.
And what better way to invest in your tax return than into yourself, bro? Manscaped has the full package from head to toe. And make sure you get your money's worth this April. The Performance Package 4.0 is the ultimate bundle you need to reinvent yourself and your confidence. The Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is the star of the show, offering a precise shave on all your wildest hedges. Equipped with the LED light, you can navigate in and out of those difficult areas with ease. Did we mention it's waterproof as well? More exciting news, the Performance Package 4.0 now includes Manscaped's brand new Weed Whacker 2.0 ear and nose hair trimmer. This bad boy has been totally revamped with the new and improved blade and motor. And I dare to say this is the best ear, nose, hair trimmer ever. Cordless, rechargeable, and comes with the skin-safe technology, which helps reduce nicks, snags, and tugs. After clearing your nose, make sure to get rid of that foul ball smell with the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing body odor and moisturizer. The Crop Reviver is a spray-on toner for your balls. Keep your boys from sticking to your leg and leave them feeling brand new. For all my guys out there, with a little scruff. Manscaped now has beard products. Yep, the whole package. The brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit is the head honcho, containing 9 products plus wet goods. This is everything you need to craft your signature look. The start of spring also marks the start of Testicular Cancer Awareness Month in April. Manscaped has partnered with Testicular Cancer Society to bring awareness to testicular cancer, men's health, and early cancer detection.
Those balls out.
Get 20% off plus free shipping with code IEFRIENDS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with code IEFRIENDS at manscaped.com. Don't just get your money back this year. Get your swagger back too with Manscaped. And now, back to the episode.
We also have this fun segment on our show. It's a fan favorite. It's called Take the Mic.
Okay.
Where we get anonymous questions, advice from our fans. And they just want to... Whatever it's on their mind, they just want to let
us
know.
That's great.
It gets cool, wild, man. Though. It gets wild.
It's pretty wild.
That's even greater.
Do you want the warning?
No warning. We don't need the warning.
Yeah, we need the warning.
All right.
There's some TF fuckers.
All right. Well, you still said the warning. Okay. But also get a little, they deep and all that stuff. First one.
All right.
Needing some advice. How to accept things that happen in our lives and to self-heal from the trauma.
Ooh.
Starting to deep.
Sam.
Yeah. My advice is no, I can't.
What? I give toxic advice.
I'm like, I haven't healed. I can't give any advice yet.
Damn.
I would say, I think just face it and, oh, you know, it's my favorite quote. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
Keep it pushing.
Not the right advice for this person. Or at the end of the day.
It is what it is.
It's the end of the day.
It is what it is. It ain't what it ain't.
I think one of the most important things you could do, bro, is first of all, when we go through hard times, I think we can't help but feel like we're the only ones going through shit like this. And it's really not that difficult to find I mean, it depends on what we're talking about, mm-hmm. right? Let's say it's things like addiction.
Yeah.
Let's say it's things like the death of someone, you know, like there are groups online, bro. And like when you talk to these people, it's like you start to, and it really is about letting these things out.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the best things anyone could do is cry.
Really? Yeah.
Even men, bro, I think it's kind of like embedded in us that like crying is weakness, you know, but it's the opposite, bro. Vulnerability is actually strength. It's hard too, man, especially when you're surrounded by a bunch of people that would think you're weak if you cry, yeah. you know? But that's why there's a lot of groups online. And it depends on what you're talking about. Yeah. I mean, it could also just be a breakup thing, you know? But yeah, it's something that I think, especially nowadays, things like this just kind of get overseen. Mm-hmm. But bro, like, we're human. We're human. And like,
we don't have to be alone.
Yeah, bro, we don't have to be alone. It's there's some things in life that happen that you really think, damn, I can't get past this, mm-hmm. you know. But bro, like we you can, you know. It's just a matter of like, it's hard, bro. It's one of the most difficult things to do in life. Acceptance, yeah. That is one of the hardest things to do in life. But that's what'll set you free, you know. Like when you just, it's not saying, oh, get over the death of someone. No, it's saying just accept it. Because yeah. once you accept it, it's like saying, okay, you're okay with it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know, and it doesn't mean that, like, cool, you're going to feel like fucking sunshine and rainbows right away. It's mm-hmm. like, it's living with it, learning to live with it. You know, that's what I think.
No, I think it's beautiful. That's beautiful. Beautiful, yeah.
Thank you.
Control what you can and don't try to, don't overthink or stress about the things that are uncontrollable.
And I identify what you can control and what you can't. And then, like, whatever you can't control, do whatever, and then once you've done whatever you could, that's it. You know, like, yeah. leave the rest to whatever is in control.
Bro. Do your best what you can do to deal with those uncontrollable things, because, like you said, you cannot stress over those type of things.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Go ahead, man. All right, next one. Y'all look like you used to shuffle. If yes, who was the best shuffler?
The best shuffler? I don't know. I used to shuffle.
Did you shuffle? Did you shuffle back?
Were you a shuffler?
No, I'm just kidding. I shuffle pretty good, bro.
You
know what's funny? I started like that was the thing. I remember like Crookers came out and all that stuff, and there was a lot of people shuffling. And like I learned the moves, and then like, you know, obviously like I never really tried to, I don't know. My thing was kind of like playing the music. It's like, I got you some good music if you're trying to shuffle.
Yeah, yeah. You know? You guys do this.
But there was some times where I'd get drunk and I'd get in there. Like,
shuffle battle people or what?
I know two moves. I just know like two moves, bro. That's it.
Yeah.
Right?
We used to, in middle school, we used to, when it really, really was blowing up and popping in middle school, we used to have shuffling versus jerking battles. Shufflers versus jerkers, bro. That's what it used to be at lunch or like during the rallies.
Yeah, Rex. Rex is a crazy shuffler.
Rex is actually the best shuffler here.
Yeah, he was.
You have the space right here,
bro. Yeah, you got the space, Rex.
Play him a song.
I know this good DJ, bro. He's has some good music.
I sucked at shuffling too.
Yeah, I only shuffled at my house.
Yeah, when no one was watching.
Yep.
All right, how do I make my man of 7 years a munch? What? He rarely munches, and when he does, I get about 6 minutes. That's it. Is that normal to most men? To not munch and only do it for a short time?
What's damn ungrateful ass?
What's munch mean?
Munch?
Like, you know, like...
I don't know yet.
Not that other munch, like the song I Spice.
Yeah, there's two munches. Supposedly.
There's two munches. The munch, like you're like a simp or like a, you know. Like
she's
like,
saying, "How do I get my man to eat me out?"
Yeah.
I guess she wants him to munch even more.
Damn, bro. Yeah, I think that's something.
It was like that, 6 minutes.
Actually, I got a good answer. Learn jujitsu. And like when he wants to leap,
lock him in.
Get that foot in.
make him tap.
I think that's something that like if he does it, then he's gonna do it. If he doesn't, I don't know, bro.
Some people are just not.
Some people are just not gonna munch, and that's about it.
But then she's ungrateful for 6 minutes, though. I'm just saying, 6 minutes is more than zero. It's more than zero.
That's more than true. Zero.
She's not DJ Khaled.
At least I'm not.
That's crazy.
Hi friends, I'm a new listener, and I gotta say I love the podcast. You guys are all very handsome. My question is, would y'all consider dating one of your subscribers? Or how would you feel about a long-distance relationship? I'm not the best at long-distance.
That's for you guys.
I want that to be for Aaron.
Why for me? I don't want a long-distance relationship.
That's tough.
Yeah, that's tough.
How do I know you're not? How do I know you're not cheating on me?
That's straight toxic.
That's toxic.
How's that toxic?
I don't think that's toxic.
That's a worry. That's just a worry.
Is it?
I think it's one of the normal speed bumps of a long distance
run. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, but it works for some people, and then sometimes it doesn't work for others. I think it's just preference. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Sure, yeah. I mean,
Yeah, because what if like if we ever want to see each other, right? We're trying to plan something. What if like the ticket's always expensive to see where you like where you live? It's always expensive. Yeah. Like it's never like a $100, $200 ticket. It's always like a $600 ticket to go see you. It's like,
I think if you're gonna do long distance relationship, it should be after you've thought about all the shit that you're gonna deal with, and you're okay with it
For sure. You know? Yeah. Unless it's only unless you're in Mexico, because Volaris is pretty cool, but like Delta, all that other stuff too expensive, bro. Next one: how do I get over a situationship? What do you do if they come back? Because I personally suck at making boundaries for myself.
Situationship.
Well, everyone sucks at first, you know, but it's something you just got to keep practice. Like it's a practice, bro.
Yeah.
You know, and my advice is, you know, keep doing do your best until you know better. And when you know better, do better.
Ooh.
You know, and like that's something that only you can figure out yourself. Like I can't figure that out for them. Mm-hmm. Only they can figure it out for themselves. And we can encourage them to keep trying. You know, like and the best thing to learn from are mistakes, bro. Mm-hmm. Like it sucks, but it's like that's how you learn in life. Yeah. The best lessons are through failures, through mistakes, through heartbreaks. That's where you learn, bro. And like you know, you have to try shit. You know, like I don't know if I like ballet. Do I want to know? Like. I could think I might not like, but if I try it out, what if I do like that shit?
Might be your new passion.
You know, that's like, you got to learn, and maybe I'll go try and I'll be like, you know what? I don't like this shit. And then boom, now I know for sure. Yeah, exactly. That's how you learn. Same thing with shit like this. It's like, do I like having this much boundaries or more boundaries? You know, and it's like, it depends on the person.
Yeah, we as people, we always are scared of change.
Oh, yeah.
That's why you have to get used to change.
Oh, yeah.
Because we as humans love comfortability.
Oh, yeah.
We love to be with what we know.
Mm-hmm.
So like that change always scares
me. That's the thing, bro. Yeah, you're 100%. And as humans, bro, the things we know how to do best is adapt.
Yeah,
you know
that's what's made us.
You know, there's things in life where all of a sudden you go from this to that, and you're just like, fuck, I don't have this anymore. But bro, in 3 months you'll be used to it already. Adapt, bro. It's in our nature to adapt. We forget that we could. We don't want to. You're right. We're comfortable. Yeah. You know, it's like I want my old life back.
Yeah. It's like with food. You got to try new things to know if you like it or not. Like you said about the whole, like, what you said before. It was like, how do you know you're not going to like something unless you try it?
Exactly.
Same thing with food. It's like, I don't like sushi. How do you know? Have you tried it? No, because it's raw. Well, then try it once.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't like it, then you don't like it.
You know how many people have told me, oh, I don't like sushi. I don't like sushi. I've tried it so many times. Uh-huh. That now they love sushi.
Exactly.
Yes. You know? Yeah. I think with sushi, it's very, don't forget, it's like a cuisine, right? It's like any cuisine. You know, it's like there's a way. Sometimes you just got to get introduced to it properly.
Yeah. If you start off with the crunch roll, you're already messing up.
Bro, I started off with sushi. Like, the first time I tried sushi was like a 7-Eleven, bro. Like, it was one of those. And I was just like, ugh.
Yeah,
it
was like, never again. Yeah.
You know, but then I was taking, like, Steve Aoki sold me sushi. I was just like, holy shit. Okay, I get it.
And then your taste buds change over time.
Yeah,
it's like your taste buds literally change over time.
It's a maturity.
I still got to try ranch again. I haven't tried it in like 2 years.
Ranch?
What?
Whoa, pause.
What?
I don't like ranch.
That's weird, bro.
That's a crime.
I don't like it. I have to try it again.
I love ranch,
dip
bro.
Some carrots at least. Like
carrots and
ranch.
Celery with your hot wings, with your wings, bro.
Wingstop ranch is fucking crazy.
Yeah, Wingstop ranch, bro.
I'll have to try that one then because it's like a cuisine. I have to be introduced right.
You said it.
That's some good ranch.
We'll get you some ranch. All right, we'll do two more. Well, actually, this one's pretty long, so we'll do after this one. Hey friends, I have something to tell y'all or ask. I don't know how this will end up, LMAO. Anyways, so recently I've been talking to my best friend Morgan. We've been friends since the sixth grade. Now we're both 20 to 21, and I think I'm starting to catch feelings for her, but we're both women. The thing is, I'm in a happy relationship and we're going 4 years strong. He does everything for me, pays for things, shows me he cares and loves, but I'm starting to catch feelings for my best friend. I don't know if it's actual feelings or I just want to smash. Me and her have always been giving fruity comments to each other and how we want to fuck, LMAO. That's not the only thing. My other best friend is also like that. We are always saying we're going to smash and we had made out during New Year's. Not only that, her boyfriend. I grew up with him. We met in the first grade. He's also best friends with my boyfriend. Maybe I just want to try sex with women. I don't know. What should I do, friends?
That's a lot of people were introduced.
If I can try ranch,
it's a lie.
you can try something new.
It sounds like she's not. I think it sounds like she's not ready for a relationship.
Yeah, it doesn't.
And then she's
doesn't.
Young, so like
I think like I mean like 4 years is a lot, but like you said, we're afraid of change.
Yeah.
But it sounds like she's not ready for a relationship. Definitely I think she still not. Needs to figure out what it is. And it's something that, so again, it's human. You got to learn about yourself, bro.
Yeah.
And it's something that you can learn about yourself while you're 50. You know, you're like, holy shit, I like this. Or, or you know, I think sexuality is something that can also, like, you won't really start to discover yourself until you start,
questions.
And start really fucking, like, asking questions and going to get answers. You know, it just sounds like, for me, I mean.
She needs answers.
Yeah, and it sounds like. You don't if you're curious like this, maybe you're not ready for a relationship.
Definitely not ready.
Maybe and
there's nothing wrong with that.
No, you're not ready yet. Just try those things. Like if you have really have those curious thoughts, I would say slowly get into it. So don't jump into like because then you might jump into it and you might be like, holy fuck, you know, like and been scared, but like no, like just slowly.
Definitely introduce definitely it. Like get away from the relationship because you don't want to.
You don't want to hurt someone.
Yeah.
And then you have the freedom to go try whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then if it's not for you, then, you know.
At least you tried it.
Yeah. At least you know. Because you don't want to be older and be like,
I don't know. That's why I'm a musician, because I don't know much about this shit. I'm trying.
You gave some really good answers, man.
Yeah, you've been killing it.
Thank you.
But now I got some harder answers for you.
Oh, crap.
Harder answers?
Harder questions.
I was like, damn, the question must have been easy.
Welcome. This is my new favorite segment called Welcome to the Conspiracy Hour.
Oh, God. Nice. Conspiracies are fun.
They're fun.
Here we go.
This is a new segment.
I've been doing it for the past two episodes, and I love it.
Nice. All
so you were working in the industry and working with huge people and powerful people. Mm-hmm. Has there ever, back when I was in middle school, I used to be super into Illuminati confirmed Illuminati. Videos.
Yeah.
And there's this one, they said.
I got another one.
I got you.
We're going to talk about
conspiracies.
Let's get into it.
Let's get
into this.
Get this one, please.
All right, so I saw a video.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Friends. Oh, mine's empty, but it's okay.
All right.
Cheers.
All right.
Cheers.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
Cheers, brother.
All right, let's get it.
So are you in the Illuminati?
So
where's the panda from? Where's your panda?
Okay, so before anything, let me tell you something about how I feel about conspiracies. Conspiracies are fun.
Yeah.
Right? But at the end of the day, to me, they're just conspiracies, right? They're just, it's fun to believe in, and like, it's fun to go down these rabbit holes, and you're like, oh my God, you know, but at the end of the day, it's hard for me to believe something until I see it, right?
Okay.
But it's funny because the other day I told my manager, I was like, hey, bro, if you ever find out if the Illuminati is real or if, you know, like, if I can sell my soul to the devil, ask him how much he wants for it, bro.
It's hard out here, bro. It's hard.
Like, if you ever find out if it's real, get me in there.
Yeah, yeah.
As a joke, bro, but like, I don't know, bro. I mean, look, like, being in the industry, I can see how a really massive team can make an artist as big as Bad Bunny. I've never seen signs of something weird like that, but I've seen like how teams can work, and it's not just like think about how do you get something like McDonald's to go from like a little one small shop to worldwide.
Yeah,
you know, it doesn't take one team. Mm-hmm. It takes a massive team of teams of teams of teams, and it's just like, you know, there are people that can run the show at that level, and it's not just one person at the top, bro. It's a collection of people, you know, and it's just like, and then there's a collection of, it's so big. Yeah. And then on stage at the show, all you see is Bad Bunny, right? All you see is just, you know, all you see is the brand or whatever, but it's like, at the end of the day, it's just so big. So it's kind of like, Illuminati is fun to talk about, but I've also seen like the how shit can actually work.
The grind.
Yeah, I've seen the grind, bro.
Snowball.
Yeah, and bro, I gotta tell you right now, everybody in those teams, bro, is just, they wake up and they're just like, what the, like, boom, boom, on the grind, bro. And that's a whole different level of mentality. So yeah, I mean, is it real? Fuck. I mean, if it is, damn, like that must be.
If you're watching,
but I mean, I'm great. I mean, I'm happy where I'm at, bro. Yeah, like, regardless, you know, it's. I don't feel like I'm forced to do anything what I'm doing right
That's
now.
That's good.
Like, I feel like wake up and I'm just like, hell yeah, like, let's keep going. You know,
fire. Because I saw a video long. Tell me if this is true. Saw a video a long time ago. You know the song "Where Are You Now," Justin Bieber, Skrillex. Mm-hmm, yeah. So supposedly, the reason why it went so viral is because they use a certain type of frequency that like it just attaches to someone and they love whatever song has that frequency always does good. Is that true? Like, is there certain frequencies?
Well, there's so much, right? I think, so one of my idols is Max Martin. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he does is repetition. Repetition is something that, like, if I'm going to have repetition in my song, the chances of it getting stuck in your head are greater. Some of the biggest hits in the world are filled with repetition and simplicity. And you know, one of my favorite song ever written was by Taylor Swift. And Max Martin, it's called No More Trouble.
Trouble.
Because of the repetition. It's like the repetition over and over. Again. And it just keeps repeating, but that's why it gets stuck in your head.
Gotcha.
You know?
So it's more of a science, not the devil.
It's part of a science role. I mean, you could, it's, again, it's fun to translate shit. It's like, oh, it's the devil. Sure, or it's just science. We like to be able to expect, as humans, when you're watching a TV show and you're like, oh, I know what the fuck is going to happen, and it happens, how satisfying is that?
Same
with music. You know where the melody's going, and you're like, oh, fuck it. So it's satisfying. So it makes the song satisfying to listen to.
Yeah.
It's really that simple. But just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy to make.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot of practice. Mm. My first song where I tried repetition was Perdóname.
Yeah,
you know, it's like the repetition and the melodies over and over, and I think that's why it picked up really, like, and it worked. You know, it's the repetition in it, and then also the one of the things that I like to use is staircase melodies. So it goes like, you know, because that's fun to sing when you go up and down. And I learned a lot by Coldplay too and all that. So it's a science, bro. It's a science. And it's also understanding humans. Like, what do you want to hear? You know, like, it's like, it's that's what I think it is. But you can also say it's probably because it's the devil.
Not the word. They're trying to push us on.
There's three G's. Was three G's upside down?
Sixes.
I fucking knew it.
We have our friend Rex here. He's an inspiring DJ as well. I brought him on. He's a host for our other show, Bueno Bueno.
Nice.
Shout out Bueno Bueno. He's got some questions. Want to ask?
I just want to say, like, I'm a big fan, kind of like Aaron, you know. And
thank you.
I'm just gonna throw like my like fan questions, pretty much. So I just want to know, what's the story behind making Perdóname and how that came about?
So Perdóname was a song for my wife. I wrote it for her. The biggest songs in my career I wrote for her, about 5 hours, Perdóname. And we were in the talking stages, and like, you know, it was something, it was dumb, right? Like, we had like, it was dumb, something I fucked up or something, and I had wrote her that song. And it was like, yeah, I was just like, here, I wrote you this song, you know, my bad, you know.
She didn't even listen to it like a week later.
No, but you know what's funny? So the reason why, okay, so the song, if you just read the lyrics, it's just like, damn, this fucked up. You know?
Yeah, like, I was like, damn. Yeah. Like,
but the song is very uplifting. It's a muy alegre, you know. Yeah, yeah. So it's like, you wouldn't think it's like a
sad,
you know,
song. Yeah.
Yeah, and but I did it like that because when I go back to those times, it was like, those were some beautiful times for me and my wife. Like, we were in the talking stages. It's fun in the beginning. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been fun since, but like, it's just like, it's new. It's
that's
new,
the new,
you know?
Like the honeymoon.
So
like,
exactly, the honeymoon period. So it's like, you know, that's why I made it like that. So that's the story behind Perdóname.
Nice. I want to ask like two more.
Go for it. Shoot away,
go for it, bro. I don't know if I'm saying it precise, but how is it working with Dicey? And would he ever make another song with her?
Dicey, so...
Because I love her vocals, bro.
Thank you. Oh, me too, like, man. She's an incredible vocalist. And me and her go way, way, way back before I really started like getting into EDM. And I remember I was like at a kickback, and I was DJing. And back then I used to play a lot of reggae and jungle and stuff like that.
A Mumbaton?
No, so it's like, it's reggae and like drum and bass, but it's jungle. Where drum and bass originated from. And I would kind of also MC like my own little sets and stuff. And she was there. She just pulled up out of nowhere. She was like, can I get on the mic? And I was like, sure. Like, okay. You know, I was a little nervous. I was like, damn, I hope I didn't just hand it off to just someone that's going to make everything awkward.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, bro, she just starts belching and she sounds amazing, bro. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, what's up? Like, where you from? You know, she's like, I'm from out here, you know? Like, it's just like, bro, let's make some music, you know? And she's like, I'm down. And she's like, I do more hip hop stuff, you know? Excuse me. And I was just like, okay, cool. Well, I do like at the time, I was like, I do like techno, you know? Like, this is what I do DJing, but like, I'm trying to make more techno music because I was Joachim Garrard. He was my idol. And I remember I saw a video of him and a vocalist in a studio, and I wanted to do the exact same shit. So she came over to my house, and then we started recording. We started messing around, and she was just like, "Oh wow, I've never done music like this. I fuck with it." And that led to fucking me and her making like 3 albums together.
Yeah.
And then I've always kept it cool with her, and she helped me out with so much. She taught me how to like working with her voice taught me how to work with voices in my music because that's one of the things that's difficult. Yeah. You know, once you get past making beats, cool, but now you got to try to apply voices, and not just apply them, but also figure out how you can get them to sound clear, how you can get them to flow, how you can, you know, it's like mixing them incorrectly. Mm-hmm. So she helped me with all of that, and we've always kept it cool. I just recently reached out to her. You know, she's got a family started now. I think she kind of stepped away from this side of the music. I think she's like sings at her church now, and you know, I recently reached out, and she's down to like, you know, like kick it and stuff, you know. Yeah. But I think she's on a different path, but she's still one of my best friends, bro. Yeah. She's an amazing
I'll be honest
soul.
With you, like Good Evening is probably one of my favorite albums. Oh, wow. For you.
Thank you,
because I feel like you really went in depth with your like personal like feelings. Like, definitely. It's pretty much feel good music, you know, and I feel like her, she really gave you that, like, you know, yeah. Icing on the cake.
Oh,
on top
my
of
God.
Music.
I'm telling you, she's so talented, you know, and then she's even more beautiful as a person. You know, her voice is beautiful, but, like, her soul is even more beautiful, bro.
Because I know 3 songs out of that album went, like, big on, like, SiriusXM.
Yeah,
Europe, like, it was,
yeah, man. You know what's funny? Yeah, with that album, bro, it was one of the most difficult albums because it really took a lot of digging into myself. And, and yeah, you know, so the way I do it is I work on one album, and then that'll be my personal album. The next album will be Party, and then the album after that is personal
See,
Party.
I love it.
So I just put out my Party album, which was Oro, and now my next one is gonna be personal.
Okay. Yeah, I also wanted to ask you, because I know you used to do like, you know, bounce and pretty much progressive, and I know where we're heading now. We're like, where you're heading now more is like, you know, straight party, straight movement song, but like, do you think like Dutch house and progressive, like, will come back again? Like,
well,
here in America,
as a trend, who knows? But I'm definitely bringing it back. I mean, like, in my music, you know, like, I definitely have some progressive coming in the new album. There's some Dutch in there as well. So whether it'll come back and be played at all the clubs, like the genre itself, I don't know. I hope so. That'll be great for my album.
Yeah.
But if not, I mean, if you want some of that, you can come listen to my album.
I would really love for you to, like, you know, work with Rehab again.
So right now, currently, I'm talking to him. We already have an idea. And it's just a matter of going back and forth, making sure we're both happy with the idea, you know. But we got something dope. So man. Great.
And then final question. I just want to know, because, you know, I'm an artist, and I play minimal tech, like minimal Latin tech.
Nice.
I kind of play like Red Tape. I know you.
Uh-huh.
You know,
fuck yeah, that's my boy. Yes.
And I just would like to know, like, what do you think about in the future? What do you think about AI taking over producers' electronics?
So AI. Okay. Here's the thing. I mean, let me just get this one thing clear. If you're scared that AI is going to take your job, don't be. If anything, use AI as a tool to make your job easier, right? The truth is that the majority of people are not going to use AI like that. Only people like you, you know, like people like creators, you know, they're going to use AI. So in the future, if I can all of a sudden start using AI, I'm not going to let it replace me. I'm going to use it to my advantage.
Yeah.
But the truth is, I just can't imagine a world where you don't need a human at all, because I feel like there's still something about each individual artist that they have to offer. Like, they still have to be the producer.
You know,
like, you still have to tell the AI what to make.
Exactly.
You understand?
The sauce.
Like, exactly. And that can only come directly from you.
It's that emotion and art behind the feeling.
Exactly.
That
makes, you know,
it.
So it's like, maybe I might not have to pick up a guitar anymore because the AI could do, but I still need to tell it what to play.
Exactly.
You know? And if it can, if I don't, if it comes a time where I don't need to tell what to play, then that's scary.
Yeah,
no, I mean, it's like, oh, you're okay, I got you.
You think the music industry will ban it though?
You know what?
They're making all these like these rap songs off like, you know, rappers' actual voice.
Yeah. So my thing is, okay, so I know that they say like this new Drake song is AI, right?
There's like three or four of them already.
Yeah, but I don't think it's an entire computer making. I think someone still has to write it.
Someone still has to sing it, and then
you just change it, right? Yeah. So I think what if you try to ban shit like that, you're just possibly gonna create like a fucking like a black market scene.
Yeah. Like and now, that's always bigger.
Yeah, like if people are still if there's money in it, people are gonna do that shit illegally, dog. Yeah. You know, I think what labels should do is try to embrace it. You know, and then like say I'm Drake and I see a fucking song like that going out like that, I'm be like, damn, that's actually if I like it, if I fuck with it, I'm be like, okay, you know what? That's actually fire.
Yeah.
You know, let me go find out who made it and then fucking let's put it out legitimately. You know, let's put it on OVO. Let's put it out, you know, like let's do that's it legit. Mm-hmm. And then I'll actually sing it.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll replace it. Because I mean, some of these rappers have other writers anyways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like it's normal in the industry. So I think it's something I think labels should embrace.
Yeah,
this is the change because it's coming, bro. You're gonna try to ban something, but people already see that it's worth something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because if you hear these songs, they're pretty fucking good. Dude.
That's what I noticed with the AI singing. It's because, like you said, there's already a bunch of songwriters and there's like a lot of like unseen songwriters are really good. So the way they're getting people's attention are with the AI. Be like, yo, trust me. Like if Drake got on this, this will go crazy.
Yeah. It's also, I think it's also a good way. Like say, for example, I write a song and I want Drake on it. I can use AI and be like, look, this is what you would sound like on the song, bro.
Yeah. Mm.
Dude, it's like an interview.
Yeah. I think
kind of. Yeah.
For example, like when artists, you know when artists, they sing the song for the other artists so they can kind of get it? Like
melody? That's like top liners. So I get that all the time from writers. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
So the majority of the top liners, they perform the song. They perform on the tracks. And there's people that just dedicate their careers to pure performing. And then whoever produces a song with the performer on it, they send it to someone like Katy Perry, someone like Taylor Swift, and then they'll take over. And then, you know, some people dedicate their careers to that. And I think 100%, I think when it comes to that, I'm telling you, there's so much good that can come out of AI. Yeah, people, for sure. I think right now, the whole reason people are trying to, or labels would possibly ban this, is because they're going to lose money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unfortunately a lot of it's all about money. But I think if you embrace it, like you can get in on that, all that money.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You can possibly even buy that track and then.
Exactly.
All the money that flows in after that is just all yours.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, so. But if you're trying to ban it, you're just creating this whole, like, it's like, one thing we know is that there's value in it now.
Mm-hmm.
People are listening to it.
Yes.
Labels should kind of be like, holy shit, people would also listen to AI music. Shit, we should fucking get an AI.
Get on there,
and start making shit like this too. Compete with those people, you know? Like,
It's also pretty cool to hear, like, when they, like, switch someone else's voice into, like, a different song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've heard, like, Hey There Delilah by Kanye West.
Yeah, that shit's hard.
Cool. I forgot the name of the song, but it's The Weeknd and Ariana Grande.
On the Spanish song?
What is it called?
I showed you guys that one.
Yeah.
I think it's called. They were both on it. I was like, this sounds really good.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if somehow you could put that song out and then The Weeknd and Ariana will get a percentage of it.
Yeah.
You know, and the like original the original song artist.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
But it's just like, cool, now you have this version and Ariana and The Weeknd could possibly even say, fuck it, we'll do it. We'll replace the covers, you know, like, but who knows? Maybe that's not what they want. Who knows? But I think, like, if I were in that position,
dude, just make the best
like,
out of
fuck
it.
Fuck yeah, I didn't have to make this song. Like, cool. Like, it's already made.
Yeah, there's one step gone. For example, I just found a crazy AI where it edits the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Have you tried it?
Bro, I've been using it for the past two episodes.
So it's actually pretty good? It's
beautiful.
Cool. Great. Yeah. See, that like, I know a lot of people say, like, okay, like an editor, like, that'll take his job.
Nah,
bro, the editor should use it.
Yeah, you 100%. Because it's like, it takes, I noticed AI just takes away the tedious part. Because, like, the tedious part of the podcast is like, just switching the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you have a robot doing that, now you can just focus on the outside, the sauce, like, let's put some effects here. Let's put an overlay here.
Yeah.
It gives you way more time.
And that step is probably the most time consuming.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and also, people are just lazy to learn new things.
Yeah.
So even though you have someone that makes videos and they'll be like, oh, you could easily learn this, they're not gonna want to, honestly. Yeah. They're like, I pay this person for a reason, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because some people who aren't lazy will probably do him like, I don't need to edit anymore because I got this.
Yeah.
But most of the majority are, even though it's easy, they're not gonna want to learn.
But they already got the sauce.
I'll tell you right now, though, it's good that you already learned how to use it. Because whether you're against it or not, it sounds like that's something everyone's going to be using pretty soon.
Yeah, might as well get on.
Might as well get on it, bro. Yeah, that's going to be the norm. And if you're still doing it the old school way, you're holding yourself back.
Have you been in that situation, you as an artist, where you had where you're like, oh, I got to adapt to this new thing that people are doing? Or like, for an example, I used to do YouTube videos and I used to do a bunch of skits. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed everyone switching to vlogs and I was like, I don't want to do vlogs. I'm sticking to my skits. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't adapting to the algorithm. Mm-hmm. So like my channel kind of went down and I was like, damn, I wish I should have vlogged because now like all the vloggers are big. Have you ever felt that situation? Where,
Hell yeah, dude. I think one of the things now is that you can't just be an artist. You also have to be a marketing fucking, you also gotta be a content creator. You can't just be an artist anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't decide to make TikToks, if you don't decide to do reels,
it's gonna be hard.
You're gonna be pushed out, you know. You do have to keep up. I mean, there are artists that don't need to make TikToks, you know. I hope to get to that level, you know.
I don't think you need to do TikToks. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I think it could only add to what I'm doing. Yeah. You know, where people on TikTok can now discover me as well.
For sure, I like the collaboration with you and Eddie Zuko.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
That was beautiful.
That was cool as fuck, man. That was dope, man. He's amazing. I went to his show in LA. And like I was front row, I was like, he's great. He's got a mad potential. I think he's gonna go really far, bro.
For sure.
And you know, it was so cool. He gave me the opportunity to remix his song, and that song is crazy, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave him my own little twist to it, but. And then we played it live. He like brought me on stage and we played it as the last song. It was a vibe.
Yeah. Oh. That song is definitely a vibe.
Thank you very much.
Sick. Well, we're coming into the end of our show.
All right.
Honestly, it went by really fast. I wish we can keep you longer. I mean, if you want to stay for an extra 3 hours, that'd be cool.
Today's Wednesday. I got to go get my kids, bro.
You're all good.
I'm dead.
If you want to let people know, like, just what any upcoming things you got, let them know. Oh, I know you just dropped the Cinco de Mayo merch this Friday.
Yes.
Well, right when this episode drops. It's
Cinco
out now.
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo merch.
Yeah.
That I got. What else we got? We got EDC.
Hard summer.
Hard summer, bro. I think I'm up against Skrillex and Forte. I'm fucked.
Nah, bro. I saw your name first before there.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't even think I'm gonna be on my set. I've never actually met him. I did run into it. He did pass. And obviously, bro, I'm not gonna bother him, right? But yeah, he follows me on Twitter.
Crazy. He likes your memes.
Whenever I tweet something, I always keep in mind, don't forget, Fool Skrillex follows you, dog.
Be cool.
Like, you know who will love this?
Don't ever say anything that will make him unfollow you, dog.
Yeah.
Nah, it's crazy. What he's doing right now is insane, bro.
Yeah.
And, obviously he's on a much advanced level than I am, but, you know, he was tweeting about how, like, he had to take some time off, you know, for like mental stuff. And I'm just like, that's fucking like, wow, bro. I can only imagine, right? The journey. And like I said, what it takes to get through shit like that, especially when this is your lifestyle. Well, not even that. I think it's just at any level. It doesn't matter what you do. When life, you know, is fucking with you, it's difficult. It doesn't matter what you do, bro. You could be rich, you could be poor, you could be famous, you could be whatever. It's like when life fucks with you, you know, like it's difficult. And I can only imagine how, you know, because we've already lost, you know, we lost Avicii, mm-hmm. you know, like we've lost, you know, like mental health shit is really, it's serious, bro. It's serious. And people, you know, there's a lot more awareness now, but I think it all can always use more awareness. And it's crazy how, you know, Skrillex has come out on top and now he's back, but he's back and he's huge, bro.
Exactly.
You know, like, and he's just crushing it. And that's like, it's inspiring.
Yeah.
You know, it gives me hope to not be afraid to try different things, because I mean what he's doing now is different than what he did back then,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's you know, for me, with this new album that I have coming out, it's personal, but not only personal, but I'm singing it, The entire album.
Oh, the whole song. Yeah,
you know, cool. which I is gonna lead to me singing live.
Yeah.
Which is new for me. And I've been terrified up until I've been seeing Skrillex just do something. Like, he's no longer, he's doing sets like differently now. You know, I'm just like, you know what, just don't be afraid, bro. Just do it. Just do it. And if it doesn't work, fuck it. You know, don't worry about it.
At least you tried it and now you
know.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But I have hope. You know, Skrillex is giving me hope. A lot of artists are giving me hope, yeah. Man. It's cool to see what so many. That's one of the things that you kind of forget to do is to you got to remember to always allow other artists inspire you.
Yeah, you and know? Not try to compete with these.
Yeah, guys, and not try to just think you're the only one. Like, nah, bro. It's like always be a student. You know, keep an open mind. And it's always fun whenever I'm at a, like, I watch live streams, bro, and I watch like people's concerts. Like, I just watched Slander at a Long Beach Arena. And I was just like, holy shit, bro. Like, that concert, I was texting my manager. We have the same manager. Yeah. I was like, yo, I want to do what they're doing. You know, like, that's amazing, bro. Yeah. It's an amazing feat, you know, like, amazing challenge. So that's... Sorry, I got way carried away. That's my ADHD, dog.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. No, that was fine. That was beautiful.
I was supposed to say something moment. About, like, what I got coming up, right?
I was feeling inspired.
I'm telling you, bro. It's my ADHD, dog. I get carried away. But yeah, anyways, we got EDC coming up. We got some singles coming up as well. I'm going to be announcing those as I go. But yeah, I got this album that I'm working on. And this album is actually going to be divided in two different, I guess, smaller albums. So.
Is this new album going to have a Marte?
One of the parts, yeah.
Bro, cool, yeah. I heard it, EDC Mexico, I have not stopped playing it. And right now I'm in some like a transitional like path in my life. Oh, and like wow. That song, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Uh-huh. But like that song, like I was sitting in the car and I just kind of like, it just put me in the mood. I was like, oh, like
that's so cool, bro.
It put me in the right mood to like keep going.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's what, this is the reason, like things like that. When, cause for me though, here's how it looks for me. Right. I open my laptop and I put sounds together and I invest my emotions and everything. You know, it takes, that's what I see. And then going to a show and then seeing someone come up out of nowhere. Hey, you know, that song you did, like it did this for me. And I'm just like, and that makes me realize that I'm not just opening up my laptop and making sounds. I'm connecting with the world, you know? And that's what makes me value it so much. So like when my kids, when they were younger, they're like, oh, you know, we want to make music. We want to make DJs. I was like, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it because you really want to, you know, it's not because I'm going to force you to do it. It's like, you're going to do it because you really want to. Cause I have so much respect for music because of the things that like what I just heard right now, you know, it's just like, this isn't just me making sounds and on a computer, bro. It's like me connecting with the world, like I said. So yeah, bro, and I appreciate that, man. Thank you very much. Definitely Amarte. And Amarte is a song that I wrote for my wife.
I wanted to ask you, and that's where yeah, it put me in.
Like this whole album that I have coming up is inspired by my wife. I realized that as long as I sing about her, I'll be good.
Perdóname was a good example.
Yeah, bro. It's like 5 hours took off, and I'm like, holy shit, dude. It's like, I think it, as long as I sing about love, you know, like it's something we could all relate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not just love, but just, you know, like. Just
like the real emotion.
Emotions.
Being vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's the best thing.
Cool. Anyways, sorry. Yeah, that's what I got coming up.
Nah, it's beautiful, man. Again, thank you so much for joining us.
This was great.
We did it. Shout out to everyone who made this happen.
Thank you guys.
All of our friends, all of the supporters who just flooded his mentions.
That was, yeah,
all of you guys. Y'all made this happen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe. My name is Saul V. Gomez. You can find me every platform at Saul V. Gomez.
My name is Aaron. You can find me at airbear_ie.
My name is Caesar. You can find me at Caesar.
I know Caesar.
Sorry, I told you this and I was like, you got, I know Caesar. It. Yeah, I got a little too into it.
Yeah. D'Oro, thank you so much.
My name is D'Oro. You can find me on Yelp. Yeah.
Thank you again for your time, man.
Thank you guys so much, man.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
See you guys next week.
Peace.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. Damn, bro. I think I only drank 2 beers.
Did you guys enjoy that episode? Because we sure did. Right? D'Oro was amazing. Does this go out? Does this get posted beforehand or after? It goes after, right? It goes at the end. I already knew. I just wanted to hear his voice. All right. So we got the motherfucking sugar daddies and sugar mamas here. Do you want me to read them in Spanish?
Go. You're not down.
All right. Primero tenemos Alejandro Galindo.
Galindo.
We'll do like their graduation. Says graduation season.
Rolando Román.
Román.
Fidel El Millonario Meneses.
Meneses.
Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Breezy, güera loquita.
I was like, you don't know how to read them?
I don't know how to say breezy in Spanish.
Oh, la breezy?
La breezy.
La,
la suave.
La suave.
Güera loquita. Hit me up. Abigail. Abigail?
Abigail.
Abigail Aguilar.
Aguilar.
David Naranjo.
Naranja.
Gloria. This one has a cool name. Gloria. This one, this friend, this sugar mama has a cool name. What? Gloria Maravilla.
Maravilla.
Ooh. We got a cutie here. Isaac Bustos.
Bustos. What?
Lucero Chavez.
El Chavez.
Kim, también llamada tu amiga KK. I don't know. Jesús Guzmán.
Shout out to Guzman.
Maria Felipe.
El otro Felipe.
Karencita.
Karencita.
Dalia García, mándame tus tías.
Damn.
Álvaro Benítez.
El Benítez.
Razor Ramon Hedges Flores.
Razor.
¿Cómo se dice Razor? God, fuck.
¿Razador?
No, ¿rasurador? No.
¿Resudador?
Rastrillo.
Rastrillo.
Rastrillo. Rastrillo Ramón. What's hedges? It's like
los,
a plant.
Los hedges, los, yeah. ¿Cortadores? Oh, my God. I don't know.
Razor Ramón. Yeah, Ramón Flores.
Shout out to you, Ramón.
Shout out to Ramón. Sandra González.
Sandra González.
Oscar Martínez. Quique y el Lava Platos. Pérez. Yes, six pack Pérez.
Oh, shit. Okay. Shout
Liliana Juárez.
Shout out to you, Liliana.
Shout out to you. Eileen y Bradley López Martínez.
Bradley. I can't even say.
Oh, wait. I think I fucked up.
Whoa.
So we'll put me with the bottle service altogether. It's because. 21 bottle service. Put it down at the end. I didn't see it. Should we just leave it like
it's
that?
It's a shout out. It's a shout out to you guys.
All right. Another extra shout out now for Alvaro Benitez. It's because after I came up with that really creative Dalia Garcia, mándame tus tías, he was right below and I didn't see it. So yeah, this one, este es para el güey con la riata más grande, güey.
Okay.
Con el dinero más alto, con las pistolas más chingonas y las viejas más chichonas. Este es para mi compa Alvaro Benitez.
Sabonetes.
Muchas gracias. No, I'm just playing. Thank you guys so much for watching this episode. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe. Shoot it to your tia. Shoot it to your grandma. Shoot it to your daddy, even if you don't know him. And fucking enjoy the rest of your day. Peace.
Let's go. Bye.
Are you ready to turn your best ideas into a thriving online business?
Introducing Shopify, your no excuses business partner. You might not realize, but our podcast, More Than Mamis, it's a business. And we started it, of course, to talk about maternity, not to become an e-commerce expert.
So yeah, we needed some help selling our merch and getting our store up and running. Woohoo! Another sale!
Shopify is a commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide.
No matter if you are a garage entrepreneur or a big business, Shopify is the only tool you need to start and grow your business without the struggle.
With Shopify Single Dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere, giving you the insights you need, whatever you are. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/sonoro to take your business to the next level today.
Shopify.com/sonoro.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.